This is Susan D. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, talking once again with Dr. Alan Softee. Dr. Alan, as most of us know in Telluride, his followers know in Telluride, is a world-renowned internist and gastroenterologist. He has encyclopedic knowledge of mind-body wellness and preventative medicine. This winter and continuing into the summer in Telluride, at the Peaks Hotel and Resort, Dr. Alan will once again lead wellness retreats using an evidence-based scientific approach to health and longevity. For more information on those retreats, go to TellurideLongevityInstitute.org. Today, his subject is the real meat on red and processed meat, following the release of a controversial study. Dr. Alan, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me, Susan. I appreciate it.
So a little background. Before we dig into the latest and greatest on the meat debate, let's own up to the fact that the field of nutritional epidemiology has some real challenges, starting perhaps with the fact that nutritional research is difficult. Why? Because getting people to eat one way or another for a long period of time is just not easy and quite possibly impossible. And for that and other reasons, aren't the reported results of such studies observational, qualitative, not quantitative?
Yeah, I mean, observational studies in nutrition are very difficult. They're very qualitative in nature. And they're retrospective. You ask me what I ate for the past month, and some people aren't that diligent writing it down. And we're not asking often, what did you substitute? If you gave up meat, what'd you substitute it for? If you substituted fried chicken for it, no, there may not be any differences in giving up meat. So they're not the same sort of scientific studies where they're randomized, they're controlled. We watch things prospectively from day one out. This is kind of a retrospective look and often not over long enough periods of time to make a difference. Heart disease, cancer, things like that may take years and decades to develop in people based upon habits. And often some of these studies are relatively short in nature, and so we don't see the differences mm-hmm. we normally would.
Okay. Now can we look at the so-called study and its author, Dr. Bradley Johnson, and that's PhD Dr. Bradley, not MD. He is the co-founder of a company called Nutrirex. Supposedly a list of 15 studies that seemingly met the criteria for inclusion in the analysis, accompanying a letter countering Johnson's claims, it was put together by the True Health Initiative. Several of the studies that Johnson omitted in his protest of the study included the Lion Heart study, long considered a benchmark in the field. Had it been included, the letter by other doctors said, the results would have been very different. The Lion Heart study found that eating a Mediterranean-style diet with more fruits, vegetables, and whole grains and less red meat helped prevent heart disease. So, and to add to that point, the publishers of that letter, which was the True Health Initiative, is an organization dedicated to fighting preventable diseases, a group of 13 prominent doctors and researchers who sought to request and recommend that the Annals report, the one that Dr. Johnson submitted, preemptively retract publication of its papers pending further review. So what do you know and what do you think, Dr. Allen?
Well, first of all, let's look at Dr. Johnston's, Bradley Johnston's history. Again, as you pointed out, he's a PhD, not an MD, and he actually didn't do these studies. One of the most controversial things he was involved in a few years back was a study that was paid for by ILSI, an industry trade group, largely supporting agribusiness, food, and pharmaceutical companies. And some of its members were like Coca-Cola and Cargill, Pepsi, McDonald's. And he didn't report that. When I do studies, we fill out disclosure agreements. Do we have any ties to industry trade groups? And he admitted that, saying, well, that was 4 years ago when he got paid, and they only asked me about 3 years. However, the study that I'm talking about where he tried to say that sugars were actually safe, are safer than what we really know them to be, was published 3 years ago. So In the spirit of the law, I would have said, you know, does he have a legal obligation? No, but most investigators would have reported that. It's a self-appointed panel also. It's a panel of investigators that may have some inherent biases. And my assumption, at least reading some of his past work, is, you know, he may have some significant inherent biases. And I think that's the same thing that if you look at Walter Willett from Harvard and a lot of other individuals, feel that, yes, he may have had some bias in going into this. Why would you leave out the lion diet heart study, which shows significant differences? There's lots of studies even published in the past year that were not included in this, which were really good studies. And the lion diet heart study is one of the best, and was not included in this.
Yeah. As I mentioned, I think there were 15 of them that the True Health Initiative people alluded to, 15 and others coming, they said. So, yeah, he admitted all those.
Yeah, well, we have, you know, we have articles published this year, just recently, you know, associations of changes in red meat consumption with total and cause-specific mortality among U.S. men and women. And they were two prospective cohort studies not included in this. We have the lion heart study, not included in this. We have animal and plant protein intake, you know, and looking at all-cause mortality, again, showing when you switch to more of a plant-based diet, it decreased lots of different forms of mortality in people, yet none of those studies, which were published in the past year, were included in this analysis. And the quality of the evidence was really low-quality evidence. These type of studies were not high-quality studies. It ended up, and the scary part is, it ended up in newspapers all around the country. It ended up headline news on the Today Show and every, you know, CBS morning shows and evening shows. And people don't really have the ability to say, maybe this wasn't a fair assessment. When you have, you know, Dean Ornish and
yeah,
Walter Willett and, you know, previous U.S. Surgeon Generals saying that this really shouldn't have been published, we should have looked back and said, before we put this on the news, we want to have a fair and balanced approach to this.
Yeah. Yeah. So in doing my homework on the Johnson Annals report, I came across an acronym called GRADE, G-R-A-D-E. It refers to an assessment method, obviously you know that, considered the most rigorous way of finding out whether there's a cause and effect relationship exists. The papers not cited by Johnson's so-called study all use that methodology. So will you clarify what GRADE is?
Yeah, it began in around 2000, somewhere around there. And more methodologists and other people looked at and said, we need a more scientific way of looking at a lot of different pharmaceutical type studies for the most part. And so we had quality of evidence and definition. So if it was very high quality evidence, we were very confident that what we were looking at and the estimates we were publishing, we would call that high quality evidence. Now let's look on the other hand, low quality evidence, you know, we didn't have that much confidence. Our confidence is extremely limited in what we're publishing. And the true effects may be substantially different from what we're publishing. So when we say low quality evidence, I don't pay as much attention to it as high quality evidence. So it's a way, but it was never meant to look at observational epidemiologic studies. It was a way to look at more prospective studies going forward and often pharmaceutical-type studies.
Okay. Okay. So among the research experts and government authorities who protested Johnson's so-called analysis were people like David Katz, a medical doctor and immediate past president of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, founder and president of the True Health Initiative, Dean Ornish, MD, founder and president of Preventative Medicine Research, Richard Carmona, MD, former Surgeon General, etc. And these people all say, like you say, there was nothing new in the meta study, no real breakthroughs. Everyone agrees that 80% of preventable illnesses and chronic diseases can be improved by or prevented by lifestyle interventions, such as limiting the amount of red and processed meat. So what do you think Johnson could have been after in making his counterclaim, besides personal branding in the age of Twitter?
You know, I think investigators, especially when you're blinded to everything, we try to take the bias out of a study. So when I do a study, I don't know what drug you're getting, or I don't know what equipment you got, or I don't know what methodology of treatment you got. So I'm really blinded to the results, and I hopefully can be objective because I have no idea of what you got. This type of study, when you have a self-appointed panel of people, and actually even one of the people on the panel said that this study shouldn't have been published, you know, bias can enter into this. And he's worked in the food industry. So this is my personal opinion. This is an individual who actually worked in the food industry before. So, you know, could Bradley Johnston be swayed by his past relationships with industry trade groups? Possibly. You know, but that's a personal opinion. I can't swear to that. Is this going to get him more of a recruiting, be able to recruit in further studies? I see no reason that this study was published. There's nothing new there. We know observational dietary studies are very difficult to ascertain. And then when you leave out one of the most important studies that we have, you know, not including some huge studies from Japan that were published in the past year, but when you leave out the Lion Heart study, it confounds me, you know, what they could have been looking at. So, yes, their data could be correct. It's low-quality data. And, you know, we do see a trend towards improvement. Even with what they published, yes, there's a trend towards improvement. You know, there's a trend towards decrease in diabetes. Not huge, but it's statistically significant. There's a trend towards decreases in cancer and heart disease and other things. But that's about all you're going to see, because we don't control in an observational study like some of the studies where you substituted animal-based proteins for plant-based proteins or plant-based mm-hmm. proteins for animal proteins. That's, you know, we know what you're substituting. But if you just give up meat and start eating fried chicken, and I think I just told you about a doctor who said he gave up meat and I watched him eat fried chicken that it was coated in a sugary, sweet and sour substance. You know, he didn't really make any true benefits. If he substituted, got rid of meat and substituted a Mediterranean diet, like the Lion Diet Heart Study, yeah, then we see in these randomized studies, we do see significant benefits. So his ultimate goals, I can't read his mind, but I'm looking at his past work, this, you know, in regards to the sugar recommendations not that long ago. Published in 2016, and he was one of the senior authors on that.
Mm-hmm. So, if we were to bottom line this, how would you sum up? And I want to say that in the context of the fact that the New York Times and the Washington Post were among the publications that broadcast this all over the country, broadcast Johnson's counter study. So how would you bottom line this, Alan?
I'm astonished that a really good journal would publish an article like this with a self-appointed panel. You know, if a self-appointed panel with certain biases could look at a lot of different tests in medicine and come up with different recommendations than our standard recommendations, I think we should be looking at a study, evaluating it prospectively, hopefully looking at it, looking and not having somebody arbitrarily exclude good studies. You know, we have really good studies that have been published, you know, recently, even in the past year, showing that, you know, association of animal and plant protein intake with all-cause mortality and showing benefits to substituting plant-based protein over the animal-based proteins. So I think people should forget this study. It's a non-study in my mind. It's a meta-analysis. It wasn't a study. It's an analysis of other studies. And when you exclude some studies that you don't like or they don't meet your goals, and it's not clear why they excluded those, then we have to throw out the whole meta-analysis. So unless there was more transparency as how this panel was appointed, why they threw out some studies and kept other studies, why they say there's no difference when there is a statistically significant differences, albeit small, they didn't point out all the flaws. And most people, unfortunately, are only going to see the headlines, and the headlines are scary.
Okay, thank you very much for this sobering news. This has been Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with Dr. Alan Softee. The subject is Dr. Bradley Johnson's meta-analysis of all of the studies on red meat and processed meat that suggest a correlation between eating those meats and the risks of early mortality, heart disease, cancer, and diabetes, and the like. Thank you for your time, Dr. Alan. I'm sure this is not the last of this conversation.
No, I don't think so. I appreciate it. Thank you for bearing with me on this difficult topic.
Thank you.